Start up this morning. If you forgot your Bible because you were in a hurry, go ahead and raise your hand and our ushers would gladly give you a Bible. So if you don't have your Bible, go ahead and raise your hand and they'll get it to you. All right? That'll work. That'll work. Matthew 12. I want to begin by asking you this question. I don't know if you've ever been part of a team project. I sometimes, there's some benefits to a team project and there's some things that are kind of a downside. But I don't know if you've been a part of a team project in which you did your part. I mean, you were proud of the part you did, and then the project got moved to other people. And when it was finally unveiled, the work that you did, you couldn't recognize. It's like, what happened to the work that I did? I don't know if you've ever been your experience. But, you know, I'm thinking when Jesus showed up and he began to be criticized about the Sabbath, I think he had probably the same thing in mind. How did the thing that I began morph into what it is now? That he was involved because Jesus is God and given the commandments. The fourth commandment says to remember the Sabbath. So when he showed up on the earth, that had totally changed. The rabbis in their desire to interpret and fine-tune the Sabbath laws had really changed the entire meaning. So much so that Jesus was criticized for the way he practiced the Sabbath. It's interesting when you talk about the Sabbath, people have some real strong views of it. In fact, there's been numerous denominations that have begun based on their interpretation of the Sabbath. I'm thinking that's a crazy thing to fight over. That's a crazy thing to even begin a whole different denomination, but it has happened. So I have studied several views, and I kind of boil down to the views into these three areas regarding the Sabbath. There's those that believe that the Sabbath has really been abolished, that it was strictly an Old Testament thing, and now when you get into New Testament, it's totally abolished, does no longer exist. Then there's the other train of thought or the other view that really the Sabbath has been transferred, that what was Old Testament now has, what was given to the nation of Israel has now somehow been transferred to the church. And then the third one is those that believe that the Sabbath really is a permanent law, or you can say a permanent principle for all of life. So you'll see at the end where I fall in that. I try not to be dogmatic about it. But go ahead and turn to Matthew 12, and I'll set things up for you. Matthew 12, we have here Jesus. Jesus and his disciples are going from town to town, city to city, preaching. And here on the Sabbath, look what happens. He says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, right? They were taking a shortcut. They went through the grain field. And this is the disciples were hungry, and they began to pick some heads of the grains and eat them, right? There was no drive-through. They couldn't go through, you know, Sonic Burger or whatever that is. They couldn't go through, you know, Chipotle. I mean, they were cutting through the grains of field, and they began to pick the grains. So most likely they were picking it. They were rubbing it, right, to separate it, and they were eating it. And then it says, verse 2, when the Pharisees, those were the religious leaders, kind of stuffy people, when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. They're breaking the Sabbath laws, right? There was a ton of Sabbath laws. We're going to look at that. But that's odd to me that the one who really instituted the Sabbath, the one who came up with the Sabbath, is now being criticized for not knowing what the Sabbath is. But he did know what the Sabbath is. So let's talk about what is the Sabbath. What is the Sabbath? The Sabbath really means this. It means cessation, rest, or inactivity. It comes from the verb, which means to cease or to abstain, really, from work. So the Sabbath is really the practice of observing one day in seven as a special day. One day in seven in which you take time for rest, you take time for worship, you take time to focus the Lord. You set it apart. It's not like all the other days, right? It's not like all the other days. So that is the Sabbath, a specific time in which you cease and you abstain from doing the work that you normally did. Now, when did the Sabbath originate? Well, there's a lot of views as to when the Sabbath originated. I believed it originated at the very beginning, right? Most people think maybe it didn't, but I believe it was from the very beginning. This is where I get this from. Genesis 2. So here, Father God has finished creating everything that you and I know. He finished putting Mount Hood in its place. He carved out the Columbia River, right? The mountains, you know, throughout the world, everything. The oceans, he's created man, and we get to chapter 2. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested. Really, not rested in the terms that you and I think about. God wasn't tired, okay? He rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day. To bless means to favor it. God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. Holy means separate, distinct, special, okay? And he made it holy because on it he rested from all the works of creating that he had done. I believe that the whole understanding of the Sabbath goes back to creation. Because on the seventh day, he ceased creating, he rested. So it's, I believe, a God-ordained pattern from the very beginning that we work hard for 6 days. We should work hard for 6 days, but we must at least have one day of rest. We must have one day in which we cease from our labors. Also, as we will see, I believe that's the day we would come to church, that possibly be the day in which we just put a special emphasis on worshiping the Lord. So much so that this principle, the Lord also applied it to the land. So that's why I think it's a principle that will continue. He applied it to the land. In fact, the part of the Sabbath, as far as it related to the land, was this. That every seventh year, the land was to remain fallow. It was to remain dormant. So they could work the land for 6 years, but on the seventh year, they didn't plant anything. They didn't farm anything. They didn't harvest anything. It just remained dormant. Weeds would grow. See, that's good for the land. It brings nutrients from deep down back into the soil, right? We do it by chemicals is the way we do it these days. But in that day, the Lord said, 6 years you will plant, the seventh year you will lie dormant. You must, and here's another thing he was teaching, you must trust me. You must trust that in the sixth year, I'm going to give you plenty to last you the seventh year. Now, could you imagine, once again, that's the way they made their living. So the way it would apply to us, could you imagine the Lord says, okay, I want you to work hard for 6 years, and the seventh year, I want you to just take off. I mean, how many of us could afford to take a whole year off? No money. I mean, that, whoa, right? We'd be homeless in no time, right? It's a scary thought, but that's what the Lord is trying to teach them. I am the one can be trusted to provide for you, and the land needs to be rested. So that's, I believe, it originated the Sabbath right from the very beginning, that Yahweh was the one that would give the abundance to carry them through. Here's the next question that I want to ask. When did the Sabbath become established? Okay, when did it become established or institutionalized? Okay, I believe the Sabbath, once again, from the very beginning, but when it became institutionalized, when it became law, when it was codified, was in Exodus 20 with Moses, with the giving of the Ten Commandments. Let's look at Exodus 20. Sabbath is one of the longer commandments, and it's the fourth commandment. It says, remember the Sabbath day. And the way you remember it is by keeping it, right? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor, work hard, and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath. It's a day of rest to the Lord. To the Lord your God, on it you shall not do any work, neither your son or your daughters, right? I mean, if your kids, they knew the Sabbath. If I knew the Sabbath, I would have used this on my folks. I know you want me to mow the lawn, but today's the Sabbath, Dad, right? Today's the Sabbath. I'd love to clean my room today, but today is the Sabbath. See, God, too bad I didn't know this stuff growing up. But now you do. I had a lot of husbands come up to me yesterday and said, man, I'm going to start using that on my wife, right? All of a sudden, they're experts of the Sabbath. I tell you, God looks down from heaven and he thinks, you people, you're always looking for the fine print. So it says, on it you shall not do any work, neither you, your sons, your daughters, nor your male or your female servants. So not even the servants, your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. And here comes the reason. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. So you see God's creation pattern continue. You know, when it comes to the Ten Commandments, there's people, those that believe that the Sabbath has been abolished, the way they get around the Ten Commandments, which is an odd way of them looking at it, is they say all the Ten Commandments really kind of apply except the fourth, right? And that's kind of you know, that's kind of, I don't know that I would be comfortable in picking and choosing. One thing we know about the Ten Commandments, the first four of the commandments really apply regarding your relationship to the Lord. And then the last six apply, really have to do with our relationship with one another. So how you're going to pluck one out and say this one doesn't apply, you know, I don't feel real comfortable doing that. But that's where they get that from. So here's the next question. How was the Sabbath practice in Jewish life? How did it work out on a day-to-day in Jewish culture? Well, the way it would work out is this way. Just a few minutes before the sun went down, you would have the synagogue leader or the synagogue teacher get a shofar, right, or a ram's horn or something, and he would blow on it. And it would announce that the Sabbath would begin. Now, he would do it on sundown on Friday. See, to us, we look at time and calendaring different than the Jew does, right, than the Jewish people, than the Israelites did. For us, our day begins when? Midnight. There you go. I always think you guys think it's a trick question. No, midnight, right, is when our day begins. Well, the Jew would see really day beginning from sundown to sundown. So the Sabbath would begin for them on Friday night at sundown, and it would continue until Saturday night. As soon as they could look up in the sky and see three stars, then the Sabbath would be done, and then they could go about their regular labors. So that's one way in which they even began the Sabbath. The Sabbath really was also the Lord trying to teach them, as I mentioned earlier, about relying on Him. Here's another example of the Sabbath. Remember when the Lord brought the Israelites out of captivity, out of Egypt, and He had them in the desert for 40 years? There was probably 3 million people that He had to sustain in the desert. One of the ways He sustained is He provided manna. Manna was this thing in the morning they would wake up and they would find this, this seed-like thing, throughout, and they would collect it and they would make cakes. He would provide it. There was manna on Sunday, right? There was manna on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but no manna when? On Saturday. And so what he would tell them is you can't gather enough. You see, I would think, well, I'm going to get the whole family out there and gather all we can on Monday. That way we don't have to work again till Wednesday. But it didn't work that way because this thing didn't have a very good shelf life. In fact, if you kept it overnight in the morning, it'd have maggots, right? See, God, He knew what He was doing. So on the sixth day, they could collect enough, bake enough, so on the seventh day, they could rest. Once again, He was trying to teach them, will you trust Me? And those that didn't trust Him, they ended up with maggots, right? And so as part of also their Sabbath, they would get together. It says there are, look at Leviticus 23, there are 6 days when you will work, but on the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. So on their Sabbath, they would go, what we would say, to church. They would go, they would, you know, worship, they would pray, they would receive instruction. That was allowed on the Sabbath. You know, sometimes people ask me, you know, because I take my Sabbath really on a Sunday. But people are like, well, how can you count Sunday as a Sabbath? Right? Don't you work? Well, this isn't work, by the way. I love pastoring you. You guys are awesome. You're wonderful people. Most of you. I'll let you decide who the other person is that I'll tell you about. But you know, it's interesting, the priest work on the Sabbath. Wait a minute, how can you work on the Sabbath and yet still obey the Sabbath? And really, that's precisely what the Lord was trying to teach them. That even though they technically violated the Sabbath, they weren't held accountable because they were the priest. And really, that's the way I view it for as myself as the pastor. You know, this is not work for me. This is a calling. So I, even though I have a Sabbath, even though I come for that sacred assembly, and we all should, right? Every week we should get together. Really, for me, it's not really an issue. Here's the next question. What were the benefits of keeping the Sabbath, right? What did God promise them if they kept the Sabbath? Here's a few things that I've listed, and there's a lot more than this. The blessings of God. As a nation, they would receive the blessings of God. As a nation, they would be a nation really at rest, right? There would be a nation that would prosper. The Lord said, in fact, there would be no poor in the nation. And part of that is, Another thing that he did every 7 years, people's debts would be forgiven. I like that, right? Every 7 years, the debt would be forgiven. Every 50 years, the land would return back to its original owners. So say you got into a bad place and you had to sell your farm. At every 50 years, it was to return back to your family. That way, the Lord would ensure that there would be no poor in the land. And also, the Lord said, you would be so prosperous that you would be a lender nation. You will now be the nation that lends to other people. Now, how many of you grew up in a time when as America, we followed the Sabbath? Things were closed on Sunday. How many of you remember that? I remember that all the time. I remember going to the store on Saturday night because, you know, my mom's like, hey, we need to get, you know, what we need, you know, milk or whatever, because tomorrow it'll be closed. You know, somebody told me, they grew up in L.A., and they told me the first store that they remember that did a, you know, was open on the Sabbath, it was a liquor store. That tells you something, right? But here, I believe that there was a time in which America was very prosperous because we obeyed this principle. See, now we have gone from being a lender nation to a nation in which we have to borrow from other nations to exist. Our deficit, as it stands today, is $13.75 trillion. That's a lot of money. We owe all this money to all these other nations. So we went from being a lender nation to a debtor nation because I believe we violated this principle. The Lord said, you trust me, you work hard for 6 days, and I will make sure that even if you take a day off, I'm going to prosper you. Now, we're working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, trying to crank out everything we can, trying to squeeze every dollar we can, and look what has happened. I believe that we can add an eighth day if we want to, work 24 hours on that day, and still we would not be a lender nation. We would be a debtor nation because we violate that principle. Can I hear an amen? Good. So how did the rabbinical teachings twist the Sabbath? How did these rabbis change things? Well, most of the changes really happened between the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, when the rabbis really added a bunch of regulations to the Sabbath. What was happening is this, that people were asking questions. People were asking, you know, well, can I do this? Can I do this? Can I, you know, they were asking these questions. And so the rabbis, they began to add, you know, really their interpretation. And in fact, what I think eventually happened, it was more work to rest than to actually work, right? You mothers know what that's like, right? You're like, man, I think I'll go back to work because I work harder at home than I do at work. And I think that's the way the people felt by the time Jesus got there. You know, the Talmud, which really contains a lot of the interpretations, rabbinical oral traditions, interpretations, had 24 chapters just on the things that had changed regarding the Sabbath. Interpretations that really exceeded and sometimes contradicted what the Lord wanted. I'm going to give you a few, okay, that there were different. So people asked the rabbis, I know we're not supposed to work, we're not supposed to toil on the Sabbath, right? So carrying stuff, because most of the people in that day worked at labor, right? They carried stuff for a living. They said, Rabbi, how much can we carry and still obey the Sabbath? So here's what the rabbi says. Rabbis say, you cannot carry anything heavier than a dry fig. Anything more than a dry fig will cause you to work. We consider that exertion, right? You might start sweating if it's heavier than a dry fig. Because of that, that was the standard that they give. You know, when Jesus showed up, he's like, what are you people talking about? Here's another one. If you're ill, they can only provide necessary care to get you through the Sabbath. So, I mean, they weren't worried about curing you. They're just trying to get you through the Sabbath, and then they can work out. Could you imagine you know, especially you guys, you're working with your power tools, and, you know, you cut a finger off, right? Paramedics come, they just kind of stop the blood, and they say, we'll be back after the Sabbath to really do something about it. And yet, that was their interpretation, because to provide more than was necessary to keep you alive was what? Work. Couldn't do work. Here's another one. Baths could not be taken during the Sabbath. You would say, why? What was the problem with bath? Here's what the rabbi said. that if you took a bath, chances are you're going to spill water on the floor. So when you spill water on the floor, you got to do what? Wipe it up. To wipe it up is what? Work. So you can't take a bath. See how, you know, people were asking these questions and they were answering these questions and putting all these regulations. It goes on. You could not tie or untie a knot because it was work, right? A lot of those guys were probably fishermen. They did a lot of knot tying. So they're nope, you, on the Sabbath you can't tie a knot because it's work. Here's another one that's kind of crazy. This one really bothers me. And that is this. Can you imagine you make yourself a nice sandwich, right? You toast some wheat bread, put some mayo, you know, you put some turkey, and you put some lettuce, some tomatoes, you put some corn chips in there too, right? Anybody besides me likes chips inside their sandwiches? Yeah, praise God. Yeah, you're the holy one among us. I mean, you gotta have that crunch, right? Well, if you know you just set this up for yourself, and you're like, and then you hear the chauffeur. You know what you had to do? Put it down, because it's bigger than a what? Than an olive, right? And also heavier than a fig. I mean, you violated two rules right there. I mean, if it was me, I know how to get around the rules, right? I'd probably put a couple earplugs. I know we're close, right? A couple earplugs, you know? I didn't hear nothing, right? I mean, we know how to get around the rules. I'm sure that's what the people were doing. It even gets worse. I mean, some of the interpretations of the rabbis really affected the nation. One of the things that the rabbis, one of the interpretations that the rabbis gave was this, that you could not defend yourself on the Sabbath. Couldn't defend yourself on the Sabbath because it was what? Work. So when the Romans came, there was this general called Pompey. Pompey was a very famous general. He was one of the two generals that took on Spartacus, if you know anything about Spartacus. And so he comes into Jerusalem, and he's having a hard time going to be taking the temple because of the topography. And so he needed to build really a ramp, what they call a siege ramp, to get him over the wall. He had to get over this kind of little ravine to get to the temple and take the temple. Well, they figured out that on Friday night to Saturday night, guess what? They could build all they wanted to and not get attacked. The other days, the Israelites would attack them, but not on the Sabbath. So guess when they did their building? On the Sabbath. They're smart. Whoa, this is easy. Okay? We're just going to change things around. And it's all because of the rabbinical interpretations. How stupid is that? But that's where they were. Let's go to the next one. How was the Sabbath ignored by the people? How was it ignored? Really, the way it was ignored is they didn't even focus on the moral implications. They didn't even focus on what it really meant. Not even on the heart. It was all about commerce. It was all about making a buck. In fact, Nehemiah 13. If you haven't read the book of Nehemiah, you should read it. It's an awesome book. This part in the book of Nehemiah, to give you a little bit of background, the Israelites had already gone to captivity in Babylon for 70 years. It's interesting why people believe 70 years. Why were they in captivity for 70 years? Remember I told you that the land was supposed to remain dormant or fallow for a year? Well, it hadn't done that for like 70 segments of those years. And so really the Lord said, because you have disobeyed my rule, my Sabbath in the land, now we're going to let the land rest for 70 years because you're going into captivity, into Babylon. See, when the Lord gives a rule, he don't mess around, right? So anyway, they'd gone to captivity. They'd come back. Ezra had come back with Zerubbabel, rebuilt the temple. But the word gets back to Nehemiah that still the outer walls of Jerusalem hadn't been rebuilt. And it just pained him. It made him feel bad because, as he knew, the outer walls were important for the security of a city. That's like hearing that you know, you have no front door and back door, right? You're, whoa. If I heard that, guess what I would do? I'd show up at your house, you know, to fix your door or to put a door on it because that's an important thing. So Nehemiah gets an approval from the king. King Artaxerxes gives him approval to go back. He goes back and he rebuilds the wall in 52 days. which is miraculous. He had some people, you know, there was a couple guys that were just giving him a hard time, but he still rebuilds the wall in 52 days. He goes back to Babylon because he had promised to do that. And then when he comes back, he notices something in the people that begins to bother him. And that's where we're at here. Look at verse 15. In those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath. What are they doing? They're working, right? And bringing in grain and loads in donkeys together with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads. So all these truckers, man, they're just coming in, right? They're coming from Palestine. They're coming from all over into the city. And Nehemiah, it's bugging him. It says they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore, I warned them against selling food on that day. I like this guy, right? He's like, I'm not going to put up with it. Guess what? I'm warning you. It says, when evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not open until the Sabbath was over. He's like, I'll take care of this. I'll just close the gates. Won't let anybody in. Won't let anybody out on the Sabbath. That'll take care of things. Maybe that's what we should have done when all these businesses were open on the Sabbath. Just go chain their doors, right? We'll take care of that. And then to just ensure it, he said, I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be brought in the Sabbath day. I'd love to report that this took care of it. But you know, a funny thing happened. All those people that were coming from all over Palestine, they began to camp out right outside the gate, just ready for the gates to open to come in and do their business. So you know what Nehemiah did? He went out there and he said, you know what? Unless you leave, unless you quit just camping out here, I'm going to put my hands on you. Right? In other words, we're going to smack you around. So the people, they only did it twice, and then they quit. Never again did they have that problem about people coming into Jerusalem or out of Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Here's another question. So did Jesus observe the Sabbath? Yes, he did, but not like everybody else did. Here's the next question. Isn't the Sabbath an Old Testament thing and not a New Testament thing? Once again, the three schools of thoughts is that the Sabbath has been abolished completely. The second school of thought is that it's been transferred, right, from Israel to the church. And the other one, that it's a permanent, really, either a law or a permanent principle, right? I believe in that it is a permanent, what I call a creation ordinance, that is a result of the ordinance that the Lord said and the principle and the practice from the very beginning, that it does apply today, not as a law or as a rule, like or as an obligation, but I believe as a principle it still applies today. Okay, that as New Testament believers, as those that follow Jesus, we're no longer obligated to Old Testament rules. We are not under Old Testament rules. We're not under Old Testament law. This is where I get it from. Okay, look at Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, and this is the Apostle Paul, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, right? He's saying, don't get on me if I go to Sonic Burger 3 times a week. Lay off me. That's what it says. Or with regard to a religious festival or new moon celebration or a what? Sabbath day. See, these are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is in Christ Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament always pointed to Jesus. The whole understanding of rest, remember, not only applied to the rest of the body, not only rest of the mind, of the soul, but also our final rest is with who? Jesus. He says that's what the law was meant to teach you, that final rest comes in Jesus. So now that you know that, you're not obligated to that. So why do Christians celebrate a Sabbath on a Sunday instead of a Saturday? There's some that do it one or the other. But you know what? It really doesn't matter which one I believe. I believe we're free to celebrate if we want to Saturday. We can celebrate it Sunday. But we know that the reason most Christians celebrate on Sunday is because the early Christians, almost from the very beginning, began to assemble on Sunday instead of Saturday. If you look at the scripture, especially the book of Acts, the only times they went into the synagogue on a Saturday was really to evangelize, really to argue that Messiah had come. But right from the very beginning, they gathered on Sunday because Sunday was the day that Jesus was resurrected. And Paul had convinced them that, hey, you know, now we're free. He has set us free. He fulfilled all the requirements of the law. So from the very beginning, Christians began gathering on the Sabbath. And pretty soon they considered really Sunday the New Testament Sabbath. I don't know that I would I would go that far. But for sure, I would say that we are free from the law, but I think we should keep the principle. Look at Romans 14. I think the Apostle Paul even narrows it a little bit more. He says, one man, so he's talking to you, one man considers one day more sacred than the other. You know, we all have special days, whatever it is, right? Another man considers every day alike. Some people think every day, that's the way I was raised. I was raised in a home which every day it was alike. We really kind of didn't, you know, holidays, it didn't matter. It was kind of odd the way we were raised. But he says this, another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He says, you should decide if you're going to have one day to be more important than another day. But it's a thing that you do. See, as a pastor, I can't, you know, if I hear that you're not, you know, having a Sabbath day or a Sabbath rest or whatever you want to call it, I can't, as a pastor, say, I can't believe you're not doing that. I think it's an awesome principle. Like I said, from the very beginning, an awesome principle that we follow. Especially in our day, because in our day, we suffer from burnout, anxiety, overload. In fact, I believe that a lot of our immune issues have to do with we don't rest the body. The body needs to be rested or it begins to break down. The Lord did an awesome job in creating an immune system. But we have more immune issues than we've ever had in our life. And I believe it's because we violated principle. So I want to finish with this. Come on up, worship team. I want to finish with this. My encouragement to you is this, that you decide on your own to honor the Lord one day, at least one day out of the week. Me, I want to honor him every day. But one day out of the week, I will take a day of rest. I will call it a Sabbath. That's what I call it. I call it a Sabbath. You can call it whatever. One day a week, I'm going to take that day off. Not going to do any work. Right? That day, I'm going to rest. I'm going to relax. I'm going to let the body replenish and repair. On that day, I'm going to focus the Lord. That's why I'm here. On that day, he said, Lord, this day is special. It's not like any of the other days, right? So if you call me on Sunday, guess what? I probably won't answer. Nothing against you, but I'm doing what? I'm resting, right? But if you call me 10 times, that probably tells me there's a problem, and maybe I might pick up. Right? That's the secret, 10 times. But it better be good. It better be good. You know, we're just going to enter a time of just worship and ministry time. We're going to be over here. I want to pray for you. You know, if you have a mountain,